glad you're here today to be with us. And just before I get started, let's pray one more time. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for your presence here this morning. I pray that I am only a nail to hang the picture of Jesus up today, that you use me in a mighty way to glorify your name. And may each and every person here today be touched in a mighty way and changed forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I never forget, it was in Philadelphia about 1 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon. And I better say this right or I might get beat up. When me and my wife got married. And it's after you say I do, you understand as a man, your life never going to be the same again. At least I did. I don't know if you felt that same feeling or not. But I knew I couldn't be the same man I was before I met my wife in every aspect. I could still be the clown. I could still be fun-loving. But I had to get a serious side to me. I don't know about you guys, but I was not a serious person at 18 years old. So I knew I had to get serious. And plus, we got married. I really didn't have a job. So now I have to get a job. I mean, she's putting me to work. And so I knew I had to change who I was, but I didn't know what man I would become. I didn't. How do you know when you're 18-year-old what you're going to be when you're 30? And then we had our first baby. And I held my baby in my arms. And I said, "Dang, I got to change again. Because now not only do I have to be a good husband, but now I have to be a good father." A good father. I didn't know what it was to be a father. I knew I loved my father. And I knew I had a good father. But I did not know. They never taught me in school how to be a good father. They never taught me in school how to be a good husband. But the Spirit of God, who I didn't realize was inside of me, was teaching me all the time. So if the Spirit of God can make me a better husband, and if the Spirit of God can make me a better father, then why can't the Spirit of God make us better Christians? Does anybody have that answer in here for me today? Because I think I'm a great husband. I think I'm a great father. But sometimes I don't know if I'm a great Christian. And I think a lot of times we struggle with that part of our life because we think we always have to point other people's faults out, because then we can say, "Well, I am a pretty good Christian." Jesus does not want us to be pointing other people's faults out so that you think you're a better Christian. And when you see a Christian come through something that they were struggling with, and you see that they had this battle and they finally won that battle, a lot of times we just say, "Hey, you did a good job." You should be praising that person. But before you praise that person, you praise God, because only God can change that person from who they were to what they're going to be. This man was on vacation. Well, not on vacation. He kind of works like me. He travels a lot. And he was coming home. He was coming home, and he thought he wanted to get his wife something special. So he goes into the store, and he wanted to get her a good perfume. He says, "I really want to get my wife something special. I've been gone a while." And so she brought him this perfume. And he looked at the price. He said, "No, I want something a little bit cheaper." So she brought him something else. And he looked at that. And he said, "No, something a little cheaper." And she brought him a third item. He looked at that and said, "No, something a little cheaper." So when she came back the fourth time, she brought him a mirror. She says, "She's got you as about as cheap as she can get." Are we like that as Christians, though? We're a good husband. We're a good father. We do good at our jobs. But as Christians, we're a little bit cheap. See, I think Jesus Christ puts people in front of you and he tests to see how good of a Christian you are. Not that he's putting you on any type of program where you have to pass it or not, but I think he puts people in front of you and then that person, depending on how you act, will go and tell somebody else, you know, that is a good Christian, or that person doesn't know what Christianity is all about. And another thing, I don't think when you're helping somebody out, you should tell them, you're doing that because you're a Christian. I think a Christian, it should be so pure in you that it's not you're doing it to help somebody. It becomes so natural you didn't realize you even helped them. So this week, this young girl just bumped the front of our red truck. Just bumped it. And I know it was a Christian act that God let Yvette be driving that truck that day and not me. And it's not really that bad, but here's what I liked about this whole scenario. Yeah, my truck's going to be in the shop Monday morning, and it's going to get fixed. And by next Thursday, Friday, you will never know what ever happened. And I think God knows that I struggle when stuff like this happens. That's why Yvette was in that truck, not me. But here's what I like happened. So this young girl is from Syracuse, New York. She's studying to be a doctor, right, Yvette? She's studying to be a doctor over at EVMS. And she's studying to be a doctor. So I'm sure her schedule is hectic already, because I know what my son's was like in Elvin. Alvin, you don't have to do a lot of studying, do you? No. So anyway, with all the studying she has going on, she volunteers to help some students from Kings Fork High School, right? And I guess with their studies, I don't know really what she's helping them with. And they usually go to her, but this night she was going out to them. And she got in the wrong lane. She turned and kind of nipped the front of the truck. And then they got together over in front of Dollar Tree. Coincidence. Yeah, I have it. Matter of fact, you know, if you don't know, I do build Dollar Tree. So if you want something for a dollar, I got a special deal for you. They're in every Dollar Tree across the country. But anyway, so the girl was there and she goes, I'm sorry, I hit you. And they called a cop and the cop came out. And the girl admitted to it. And when she admitted to hitting the front of the truck, and I tell you, you can't hardly tell she's even touched it. But she fessed up to it. And then the cop said, well, now I have to give you a ticket. I have to write you a summons. And Yvette says she noticed in her body, she just started to build up with emotions like she was going to start to cry. And Yvette told her, don't cry. She said, it's going to be okay. And Yvette asked the officer, says, why does she have to have a ticket? Well, he said, well, she admitted to hitting the truck. She goes, yeah, but it was an accident. The truck is fine. I'm fine. She's fine. Please don't give her a ticket. Well, it just so happened that night, was his boss with him? His boss, huh? Or his boss showed up a few seconds later, which, every time I'm getting a ticket, the boss doesn't show up later. I mean, but his boss showed up later. And Yvette asked him not to get a ticket. He went back to his boss. And they didn't give her a ticket. Because of God's grace. But where's that girl today? What is she doing today because of what happened? I don't know what her encounter with this girl has, if it ever changes anything. But I know how my wife reacted. Please don't give her a ticket. Show her compassion. And I'll be honest with you. The only reason I had that happen to me one time is because after I got my third ticket in the same day, the officer realized who my mom was. And then he ran me down the fourth time to take the tickets away because he said, I'm going to get in trouble with your mom. So God's grace works in mysterious ways. But anyway, let's go to Luke. You're going to think this is a weird text, but I hope to pull it out for you. Luke chapter 13. going to start with verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by the Spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. I wonder today, are you crippled by some spirit? And I don't mean like this handicap, but are you crippled by maybe not trusting in Jesus like you should because your bills seem to overwhelm you? Or is it because your job seems to overwhelm you? Or does it just seem like you don't have enough time today to do everything you have, and so Jesus is put on the back burners? And if something like that cripples you today, you need to let it go. You need to let it pass. You need to turn it all over to Jesus. I got stuff flying everywhere. What holds you back from being that better Christian? What holds you back from being that better husband? What holds you back from being that better father? Are you being held back? Do you have it all in God's hands where He's leading you in everything you do and say? I mean, I know some of Dave's handicaps. He's a Dallas Cowboy fan. He could be definitely a better Christian. But anyway, if something's holding you back today, like that woman for 18 years being crippled, let it go. But you know what? Let's continue reading, because it's definitely a different story than you probably paid attention to before. So he called her from forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up. And what did she do? Praise God. Shouldn't everybody in that synagogue that day have been praising God for what just happened? Shouldn't we be praising God anytime He touches you and heals you or takes away something that's been on you really strong? But listen, we got some cheap Christians at this synagogue. Listen to the rest. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days and not the Sabbath." The Lord answered, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" Do you see what I'm saying about a cheap Christian? He didn't reckon. And this woman, 18 years, I'm sure everybody in that area knew who she was. I'm sure everybody knew this woman because they saw her all the time. And here's this guy going, "Well, you shouldn't come in on the Sabbath. You should only do it the other 6 days of the week." He's not even praising there. And then later on in the Bible, you hear where Jesus healed two blind men. And the kids were just praising Jesus Christ. And yet the other leaders of the church said, "This shouldn't be happening." I'm telling you, anytime somebody changed their walk of life and turns it over to Jesus Christ, I don't care what day of the week, what hour of the day, or where they are in their life, we should be praising them for what God did in their life. I never forgot when I went to see my brother's baptism at a Baptist church. Somebody saw me walking into the Baptist church, and they got on my case. "Why were you going into the Baptist church?" I said, "To see my brother dedicate his life to Jesus Christ." And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what church you're in, if you're dedicated to Jesus Christ, that's the goal of this life. To be dedicated to Jesus Christ, no matter what church you're in and where you are in your life, to be committed to Jesus Christ. You want to be a better mother? You want to be a better father? You want to be a better daughter, a better son? Turn it over to Jesus. each day. And he starts making you that better person. It's natural. Read his word. I tell you, I go through all kinds of struggles with different superintendents, different fire marshals. To me, if there is a heaven and fire marshals are in it, they might have their own corner, because I think they might question God. Fire marshals, they're a different mentality, but they do have a major job and a major role, and I try to give them the greatest respect. But what I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, whatever is holding you back, if it's between you and Jesus, it's got to go. Because once it's you and Jesus, everything else works. Everything else works. Everything else works. I want to play a song for you. It's one of my favorite songs. And it's by Big Daddy Weave. I don't know if you ever heard of Big Daddy Weave, but I love this guy. I met him here in Deep Creek one time. He's a great guy. And one day, it's my hope that we bring him here to RGF, but not just for RGF. It will be for a big group thing. But my hope one day is we bring him for RGF, Big Daddy Weave, to sing. But Randy, if you're ready, go ahead and play that song.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, I am redeemed, I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be, I am redeemed.
You see, you don't have to be that old person anymore, because you are redeemed right now. Turn it over to Jesus Christ each and every day, not just on Sabbath, not just on a Wednesday night, whatever night you have another night of worship, but each and every morning when you get up, and you're redeemed each and every day. You're a brand new person. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Do that each and every morning. Turn your life over to Him. You'll become a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better daughter. You will become changed. And then as they see you, they see what a Christian is all about. Him living within you. Not somebody you're trying to show off, but somebody, it's natural, unexpected. It works each and every day. Make it a part of your life. Make Jesus Christ first. And just like the word says, everything shall be added.
Let's stand and worship together.
And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am.
Love, 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 you're good.
It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. Come on. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are.
That good, good Father. And we are redeemed because of who you are and what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you will be in each and every person's life today and forevermore. And may we become changed because of who you are. Jesus, we ask that you would watch over each and every person today as they leave this place. And as they go throughout this week, may they see your hands in everything they do and say that Jesus Christ is walking with. Lord, we ask for your peace and your understanding, for your forgiveness, and for just your spirit to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's spirit and see you next week.